Hello and welcome to the Muni Lowdown. My name is Paul Graves and I'm the managing editor for Debtwire Municipals. Today's podcast title is PREPA's Supercharged Bankruptcy. And just to make sure we're all on the same page, PREPA stands for the Puerto Rico Electric Power Authority. And I'm so delighted to be joined today by a journalist on our team, Simone Barrabo, who's been covering PREPA and by extension Puerto Rico for a number of years now to talk about PREPA's bankruptcy proceedings. Simone, welcome back to the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me.
Looking forward to this discussion, Simone, because we're going to be talking about the upcoming confirmation hearing for PREPA. And at this hearing, they're going to decide whether or not PREPA's plan of adjustment will be approved. So can you give us some background as to where things stand with PREPA's bankruptcy proceeding?
Yes. PREPA is the last Puerto Rico municipal entity in a non-consensual bankruptcy. I'm not sure that I would have predicted that I'd be seeing this years ago, because it was, if you'll remember, the one to get a restructuring support agreement, which I'll refer to as an RSA, that was going to be a blueprint for every other Puerto Rico bankruptcy. But now the four other non-consensual restructurings have been done and dusted for at least a year. So those are the Commonwealth itself, the Sales Tax Authority, the Highways Authority, and the Commonwealth's Retirement System. And PREPA is still hanging out there. As you said, its confirmation hearing is coming up. It's set for March 2024. On the one hand, the judge overseeing the bankruptcy is ruling fairly consistently against bondholders, more of whom are signing on to the plan. And PREPA seems to be marching inexorably towards confirmation. But on the other hand, recently, the creditors who are still objecting, and there are a significant number of them, have been throwing what I can only think of as legal spaghetti at this bankruptcy wall, making legal maneuver after legal maneuver to block this plan from going through as it is.
So who's trying to stop the plan?
The most notable creditors are Golden Tree Asset Management and Syncor Guarantee, who have recently taken at least five separate steps to upend the bankruptcy, or at least to get better payouts. They filed for a receiver. They argued that the oversight board is illegally buying bondholder votes. They offered exit financing to compete with the BlackRock group, and that's the group that's now on board with the restructuring. They filed an appeal to the lien and recourse ruling, and they're trying to get Puerto Rico itself to pay some of what PREPA doesn't.
Why are they doing this? And more importantly, why now?
If you look at the history of this, bondholders' position has gone from pretty strong to weaker, I think, than any but the most pessimistic Muni observer would have predicted. And there was this interesting exchange at a recent appeals hearing, sort of an aside, where one of the judges said to the oversight board's lawyer, "The bottom line on all this is that municipal bonds are not quite as secure as the market may have thought." And the oversight board's lawyer responded, "Municipal bonds are going to change a lot after this case. They've changed already." So that's the big picture for all Muni revenue bonds. But if you look at the history of PREPA's restructuring, the why now is answered by the perpetually worsening situation for bondholders, a lot of which has happened only just in the past few months. First, they have the restructuring support agreement. PREPA, as I mentioned before, is going to be a blueprint for the other restructurings. Bondholders might not get paid in full, but the haircut won't be that bad. And for hedge funds who bought the bonds later on, there was a profit to be made. Then the Financial Oversight and Management Board, which is the entity appointed by the federal government to oversee Puerto Rico's finances and PREPA's finances, swapped out some members and they scrapped the agreement. Soon after that, they filed the lien and recourse challenge, basically saying that the bonds were unsecured. I have to admit it, I thought this was a long shot. But in March, the oversight board pretty much won. Bondholders, according to the latest ruling, don't have $8 billion in secured debt like they thought they did, plus interest that at this point exceeds $3 billion. They only have $2.4 billion in unsecured debt. And that $2.4 billion was the court's view of how much money would have gone into funds controlled by bondholders outside of a bankruptcy. Then PREPA, which had already filed a plan of adjustment, produced a new fiscal plan that cut the amount that they believed that they'd be able to pay significantly, even as Puerto Rico's economy had been growing. So they adjusted their plan of adjustment to be consistent with their new, much more pessimistic revenue forecasts. Then a group of bondholders led by BlackRock, seeing everything that was going on, signed onto the plan and offered exit financing, which has a bunch of fees associated with it, where they'll essentially get a better payoff than many other bondholders. Other bondholders, including notably GoldenTree, appeared to be completely blindsided by the splintering. So one thing GoldenTree and others did was to try to prevent any further splintering. They filed a document with the court that says the major objecting bondholders have agreed to cooperate with each other. There won't be any more deals negotiated between any of the major players without the other ones knowing that they're going on.
So is anyone else trying to stop the plan?
Yes. Assured Guaranty, and this is nothing new, is arguing that the law overseeing the bankruptcy, known as PROMESA, which is sort of tortured acronym that stands for the Puerto Rico Oversight, Management, and Economic Stability Act, violates the U.S. Constitution's uniformity clause because it treats Puerto Rico differently from other U.S. jurisdictions. Assured brought this challenge up with the last plan of adjustment, too. This is nothing new. And this is also, or something very similar to this, had already been litigated a while ago, but Assured is arguing that events have superseded the previous ruling on the issue. There was also a case filed earlier this month by the Unsecured Creditors Committee, where unsecured creditors and also pensioners are seeking priority payment to bondholders. If this case is successful, this would undo some of the deals the Oversight Board has already made with consenting bondholders, so it would be another major wrench in the works.
So there's a lot of legal moves that have been made here, but do any of them have any chance of success?
That is the $8 billion question, right? Some of the moves definitely seem like long shots. Anything that was previously litigated but creditors are bringing up again because of new developments in this case falls into this category, such as Assured's constitutional challenge. GoldenTree's effort to appoint a receiver also falls into this category. Whether Judge Laura Taylor Swain, who is the judge overseeing the bankruptcy, even has to hold a hearing on the receiver matter is the subject of an appeal. And the questions the First Circuit judges who heard the case earlier this month were asking indicated they were skeptical. There's also trying to get the money from the Commonwealth, which has been through its own restructuring based on the trust agreement. At this point, I'd be surprised if the Commonwealth has to pay, but I've been wrong on how the courts will rule before, so it's a case that's out there. Then there's GoldenTree's offer of alternative exit financing. I call it an offer, but it's not really an offer. It's an expression of interest, meaning they can't really be held to it. The Oversight Board quickly rejected it. On its face, it would save PREPA significant money over the life of the bond. And it was made with the explicit condition that creditors who were offering the financing could still oppose the plan. Judge Swain, at a recent hearing, questioned why GoldenTree would have made the offer in a public document if it was serious, rather than going and speaking to the mediators or the Oversight Board directly. The offer seemed almost designed to lend fodder to the inevitable appeal if a plan goes through as it is, that the Oversight Board has engaged in vote buying to get support for the plan. And that's another one of the adversary proceedings that's come up, that the Oversight Board has essentially bought votes. It's also something that's going to come up in the confirmation hearing regardless.
So is this allegation that the Oversight Board bought votes, is that a real risk to the plan?
It could be. Even initially, bondholders had argued that the plan was patently unconfirmable, in part because of the settlement with National Public Finance Guarantee Corporation. As it stands, the insurer, which was the first to agree, could get paid par, and then other bondholder groups would get paid less and less until those that don't sound the latest support agreement could get 12.5% of their claim. So that would be about 3 cents on the dollar. The splintering has been pretty amazing, and as objecting bondholders point out, it's not unsecured creditors fighting bondholders or seniors fighting subordinates. It's holders of the exact same claim fighting others with the exact same claim. And the most recent plan has encouraged this by breaking down categories further with fees. But the long and short of it is that the payouts for the same bonds will be drastically different depending on when and whether a bondholder gets on board.
Thanks, Simone, for the insightful perspective on PREPA's bankruptcy proceedings. Look forward to your coverage of the confirmation hearings next year. To our audience, I hope you found this podcast to be informative. Please support us by liking, sharing, and/or subscribing to Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Until the next time, thanks for joining us on the Muni Lowdown.